This evening will have to be brief. I'm just waiting for the car to pick me up to go to the airport. Thank you again, everyone, for the overwhelming support on continuing these experiences in Krishna consciousness, as I call them. And today, I just want to conclude part one, which leads up to 1975, when I left Montreal, with the description of the first vow that I took. To be honest, I'd had already taken different vows. Obviously, I took a vow of the times of initiation, vows that we all take. Within myself, I took a vow to take sannyas. I remember that probably for the first 15 years of my Krishna consciousness, I followed a vow that I took very soon after I joined. That was that morning and evening I would recite the third chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as Lord Balaram's traveling to the sacred places of pilgrimage in the Krishna book. Both of these had benediction, if I remember correctly, that one becomes fully free from all material miseries and attains perfection in life. So I took that vow and followed it very strictly for many years until I replaced those vows with some others, or those practices with some other practices. But this vow, which I ended with last night, always stay in the mood of Sankirtan, was something that really defined my commitment to Krishna consciousness, something which set the mood in which I wanted to practice devotional service. And whereas, to be quite honest, I always wanted to remain a book distributor, but somehow or another, by Krishna's arrangement later on, I wasn't able to continue with that service and had to step into the role of temple president and then GBC and spiritual master. But there was a certain taste, a certain shelter, a connection with Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a certain ecstasy that came from giving Krishna consciousness to others, giving Srila Prabhupada's book to others. And I knew that this was the safest place for me to be in Krishna consciousness. If I could maintain this mood always, then I would never lament, and I was sure that I would become Krishna conscious, achieve perfection, and go back home, back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada had said as much. And although 1973 and 74, I was selling spiritual sky incense, by 1975, somehow or another, I managed to get free from that service. I convinced my temple president to hand it over to Priya Bandhu, who was actually my assistant, French-Canadian devotee. And then I became the Sankirtan leader, and when Sankirtan book distribution became the mainstay of the temple, then we sort of let incense sales go. Whether that was a good decision or not, I don't know. It had a good income that was able to sustain the temple, and some other devotees could have done it. But Srila Prabhupada had emphasized book distribution so much, and particularly in those years, 74, 75, we're getting these messages where Prabhupada was giving his blessings for the many books that devotees were distributing and asking us to double it. So how would we double book distribution? The only way to double book distribution was more devotees going out and each devotee learning how to do bigger. In 1973, I already experimented with airport distribution. In fact, I was distributing books regularly at Montreal International Airport and had wonderful experiences and was able to distribute as much as 30 books. Now, in 1975, I felt once again liberated from the responsibility of incense sales, and We already moved to the new temple, the present existing temple on Pinev Street. And I remember that our first adventure was going to America, going to the States, to the southern states for the winter. Thus, after the Christmas marathon, although I'm not sure that in 1975 we had a marathon yet, but after Christmas, January, February, and beginning of March, we headed down to New Orleans Mardi Gras, and then from there went across to Texas distributing books. It was a different experience, different in the sense that I had to adjust to different types of people. American people were different than Canadians. We were somewhat unsure of our legal position, if we would be caught by the police, how we would be dealt with. We didn't have any difficulty, but San Catan there was mediocre. The real highlight of it was that in March I saw Srila Prabhupada for the first time. This is 2 years after having joined. I saw Srila Prabhupada in the Dallas temple. Prabhupada came and stayed there for some days, and we were able to hear his classes. Prabhupada was there giving morning classes, evening classes, meet him at the airport, see him off at the airport, and that was an extraordinary experience for me, because here was the person who I'd given my life to, whose books we were reading regularly, who we were serving on a day-to-day basis, someone who I had connection with all the way back from 1969, and this was the first time that I saw him, and even then it was from a distance. I never really got to talk to Srila Prabhupada until he came to Montreal that same summer of 1975. And when Srila Prabhupada did come to Montreal, he came for a very short visit. We had acquired the new temple. We had taken out all the pews out of the church, fixed up a temporary altar for Jagannath and Gaur Nitai. And just before Srila Prabhupada came, we had no Vyasasan. So I stayed up for 2 days nonstop building a Vyasasan for Srila Prabhupada. It was enormous. At that time, the idea was that you show your love for Srila Prabhupada by doing big things. And, of course, the size of the temple room warranted a large Vyasasan, and this was a really large Vyasasan. It was out of artificial marble material. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada finally came, arrived in the morning, and we were really exhausted having stayed up. But still, we had an ecstatic Guru Puja for him. Prabhupada gave darshan, gave class in the temple room, gave darshan in his personal rooms or quarters that we had for him, and very much approved of the temple. Took lunch, and that was the first time I was able to eat remnants of Srila Prabhupada's food. Prabhupada ate in the presence of all the devotees in his room, and then we passed around the plate. And there was an extraordinary quality to the remnants of Srila Prabhupada. It gave me such a thrill. Not only was it the first time I was able to do that, but the taste itself was something very, very extraordinary. And then Prabhupada gave darshan in the garden beside the temple room. Prabhupada gave darshan in the temple room in the garden beside the temple, and Brahmananda Maharaj was there. And all of a sudden Prabhupada received this message that Indira Gandhi was willing to speak with him. And Srila Prabhupada packed in the car, went out to the airport, and was gone. He hadn't stayed more than 10 hours. And we all ran out to the airport, and that was a very extraordinary experience. Srila Prabhupada was sitting surrounded by all the devotees, and no one was saying anything. Prabhupada was chanting softly on his beads. We were all chanting on our beads. And there was this extraordinary experience, another spiritual experience that I had, in which I just felt the entire material energy receding. Prabhupada's presence was so powerful, it was so embracing, that all of a sudden it felt like I was no longer in the material world, and the effects of the material energy completely vanished. It was a very wonderful experience, and I was the unfortunate person to interrupt that experience with my question to Srila Prabhupada. I felt so elated, and no one was speaking. I thought that I would brave a question. Here's my spiritual master. He's just about to leave here after a brief few hours stay. I should ask him something. So I began to talk to Srila Prabhupada about the book distribution here at the airport. And I told him how we would go around in army clothes and even sometimes in wigs. And I said that Prabhupada was acknowledging what I was saying. And I'd mentioned to Srila Prabhupada that sometimes they would arrest us. They wouldn't take us favorable to being here. And then all of a sudden Srila Prabhupada just shocked me by saying, well, if it's so difficult, then you can come to India. And I couldn't understand why Prabhupada was saying that. Everything that I'd always been taught and heard was that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to continue doing Sankirtan throughout all types of difficulties. And here Srila Prabhupada was asking me to come to India. And I continued describing to Prabhupada how sometimes people react to our book distribution. And three times he repeated the same thing. And I couldn't really understand why. And then it was time to go, and Srila Prabhupada left, and we offered our obeisances, and I was in this quandary. Should I now go to India? Should I give up book distribution and go? I approached our GVC the next morning. Prabhupada said that I should go to India. He said, come. Of course, my GBC didn't really want me to go at that time, although it was very obvious that Srila Prabhupada was extending an invitation. So I didn't go. He said, no, you stay here. It's more important that you do Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada didn't quite mean that. And I didn't know what it was that Srila Prabhupada did mean until perhaps 10 years later when I spoke to Brahmananda Maharaj, and he told me that Srila Prabhupada was soliciting for Canadian devotees and English devotees to come to India because they didn't have visa problems. All the American devotees were having difficulty with getting visas, but Canadians didn't. And had I gone, I would have had an opportunity to have very close association with Srila Prabhupada. So whether that was my misfortune, and certainly it was a misfortune of a sort, not being direct association of His Divine Grace, or whether it was really Krishna's desire for me to stay and continue distributing books and do what I would have kept on doing for the next 2 years until Srila Prabhupada left this world, that now is just conjecture. But one thing is for sure is that because I was in this mood of just continue on distributing books, I accepted that, yes, certainly this is the best way to serve Srila Prabhupada. Let me just stay here and distribute books. And I continue to do that. I'm going to have to stop now because my car is here. And we'll continue tomorrow.